So tonight, Srimad Bhagavad Gita class will be on the Bhagavad Gita. We'll be speaking a little bit about this divine grace through the Prabhupada. Thank you. When I was here in October, I had the privilege also to speak, and that was following the October DBC meeting. Now we have two DBC meetings. One is normal time prior to Gaur Purnim, and then the other one is sometime later on in the year, generally in the fall. So that meeting was in October in Mumbai, in Juhu, and I gave a little report on one of the committees that has been assembled by the DBC body. There are, I think at this point, maybe 8 or 9 committees, and each one has a different mission or a different duty to perform. And the committee that I'm associated with is called the Prabhupada Position Committee. And so I gave a little report on what that committee is doing and the purpose of it last time I was here. And we just had our annual general meeting, DBC meeting in Mayapur. And again, our committees met. And I would like to give you an update on the Prabhupada Position Committee. And for those who might not know, I'm a member of the GBC body, so that is why I'm speaking about GBC work. So the Prabhupada Position Committee is actually very important. Somebody asked me last time, what is the need for such a committee? But Srila Prabhupada departed in 1977. And in the scheme of things, that's a fairly short amount of time, although for most of us it just seems like a very long time. But still, and you know, if you look at Christianity 2,000 years plus down the line, so many changes since the departure of Christ. So departure of Srila Prabhupada 1977 and 2009 is a reasonably short time in the historical context. So in that short time, we have observed many shifts and changes in the Hare Krishna movement. Some of them are quite necessary and beneficial, and some of them are, you know, maybe questionable, we're not sure. And you know, and some things have seemed to, like we could say, dropped off the map. You know, different things have that used to be common practice or common habits, you know, we don't notice so much anymore. And again, that's not necessarily a judgment. It may be, again, some of these things are better off not being, you know, around. But still, there are things about Srila Prabhupada himself, the founder Acharya, that we would do well to perpetuate and ensure that the future generation of devotees, including the present generation of devotees into the future, know about Srila Prabhupada and remember. Otherwise, we see in these other mutts, we go there and they have their pictures of their Acharyas, and sometimes they don't have the pictures. They'll just have their little bhajan kutirs with a few bricks, and you know, that's it. But this time, Krishna's mercy, I only have one hearing aid today. That was anyway. But this one is meant to be something that is long lasting in duration. Prabhupada, somewhere, has said his books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. So if that's the case, then we can imagine that, you know, ISKCON is supposed to hang in there for a while. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is our, you know, Srila Prabhupada is our founder, Acharya, but we can also say that we can make the same claim about Lord Chaitanya. He is also, we say, the pre-founder Acharya of the current day Hare Krishna movement. Because he's the one who actually established the movement. And then Srila Prabhupada manifested it. However, after his departure, you know, history shows that the teachings unraveled. Right away there was the different little sections and spin-offs, and by the time Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur came on the scene, it was completely lost. Here and there where there were little spots of people practicing in sort of strange fashion. And in fact, it was looked upon, what was left of the Gaudiya Vaishnava was kind of looked upon by the more or less educated people with some kind of disrepute. They had lost their integrity. So it's understood that when a great personality disappears, there's going to be some unraveling. But it is hoped that somehow or other we can keep the Hare Krishna movement together and going for the next 10,000 years. So how might this best be achieved? And the number one priority is to keep Srila Prabhupada's role and position as the founder of Acharya very clear to the current and incoming members of this time. We know that the perfection of life is keeping Krishna in the center. So, you know, I'm not suggesting we remove Krishna and install Srila Prabhupada. But our only link to Krishna is Srila Prabhupada. And anybody who joins this time is immediately becoming part of that chain. So it's important that this is understood, that Srila Prabhupada is understood in context, both as a great spiritual leader, a great philosopher. He was actually a great statesman. He traveled to so many different countries. He was what you can say a globetrotter. And in each and every country, presenting Krishna consciousness to all kinds of different audiences and all kinds of different very dignified personalities, and winning their acclaim and winning their hearts in every case. So we also want to know him in this kind of context, but also Srila Prabhupada, the person. You know, not to be just another picture on the altar or on your wall or, you know, on the cover of the books that we're reading, but that he was actually a wonderful personality. So all of these things are there in Srila Prabhupada. But the Prabhupada Position Committee, the chairman of that committee is Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, and then also members of Madhusevita and myself, and Krishnadas Kaviraj, Sri Dayananda Goswami, Bhakti Srinivas Swami, Bhakti Vaibhava Swami, and Viravahu Prabhu. And I'm the administrative assistant. That's a polite word for being the one who pushes everybody around to do the service he's supposed to do within this committee. Anyway, this year at the GDC meeting, there was a rather unusual situation because, sorry to report, but there were 10 members absent for health reasons and one other reason. 9 was health reasons and then one other reason. And so it was quite, at first we were wondering, do we even have you have to have a quorum to have these meetings. Quorum means like when you have to vote, there has to be a certain number of voting members present. Fortunately, we did. But in our particular committee, there's 8 persons, but only 4 of us were there. But it actually turned out we were able to carry on quite well. And so what we did this time was we kind of got a plan of action together. because a lot of times, you know, the first time we met, we just were brainstorming this idea, that idea, and getting all kinds of ideas, and some of the ideas in retrospect were a little too fantastic. I mean, in other words, of course, you know, we know Prabhupada said shoot for the rhino. You know, when just like, you know, when we, with Krishna Balaram temple used to be out in a field, you know, it seemed like we were miles from town. There was just nothing around. Across the street were all the, you know, shops, and that was a nice field. We used to walk across that field to go over to the Mathura Road. There was nothing, you know, on the road to town much. And, you know, so it was like, you know, do we want to be so far away from town? Same thing with Juhu, you know, the swamp was full of mosquitoes. So why would we want to be out here? And now it's like prime real estate, totally congested. Bhubaneswar, they were kind of out in the sticks from what I understand, and now the town has come to their feet. So many cases, Prabhupada was, you know, had a vision, and he didn't see things in the little tiny box of the moment. He saw things in a much larger context. So, we got out of the brain, you know, so in our brainstorming, we had some kind of grandiose ideas and things that we could do. But then, you know, in discussing certain things like, well, how would we actually do this? We saw that some of them were maybe a little bit, you know, they could happen, but let's just say you went to the store with 10 rupees in your pocket. It's highly unlikely you're going to be able to purchase a 1,000 rupee clock, you know, offering, you know, like, so maybe if you, you know, put your expectations a little bit more in accordance to your available resources and your, and which includes time, not just money, but time and personality. So we took the list and came up with four main focus points. And some of them, you know, they're not off the ground, they're still on paper. In fact, as I mentioned them to you, I'm also mentioning that this isn't just for this committee, this project, you know, this is for all of you and anybody who wants to take part. So there's the four main portions of our work are going to focus on. First will be, and keeping in mind that this is like, again, we want to introduce Srila Prabhupada to, you know, to the masses and to the future generations and to the incoming people of the present. So the first thing will be a small booklet that can be easily passed out. And it's going to be between 32, 48, or 64 pages. And it'll be written by Ravindus Roop, and there'll be a short essay followed by some resolutions and a commentary. And it will be printed by the BBT, by different BBT presses, and Madhusevita, who's on the Southern Italian BBT, he's going to be in charge of that. So that has a pretty good chance of happening because we've got somebody with a finger on the press. And we have the coming October, our next BBT meeting, as the deadline have the text ready to print, and then we'll get BBC approval and then go to the presses. So hopefully next year at this time I can speak to you again and I can pass this out. So that's one. The number two is going to be more substantial. It'll be a book written by Ravindus Roop. How many of you know Ravindus Roop? Yeah. He is probably one of our, you know, one of our top scholars in ISKCON. He is extremely intelligent and he's extremely dedicated to Srila Prabhupada.
And articulate.
Yeah, and articulate. Extremely articulate. And he also is just a really good, you know, mental archive of the history of ISKCON, you know, when and where things happened and, you know, putting things into context. So he will be writing this book. And we hope that, you know, the point will be to present Srila Prabhupada in a compelling manner to convey his role and position to the future generations, as explained. So, again, we are hoping this will be printed by the DBT, and I'm the production manager, which means the pusher behind, you know, Ravinda, are you getting your work done? then the third thing, we want to have a website dedicated to the Prabhupada. And this is where we have kind of a lot of ideas that probably could manifest. You know, we looked through different websites and we saw that there was, you know, definitely some things that could be done, and keeping it informative, attractive, and up to date, because we see young people are, who, you know, our generation, we just knew paper and pencil, you know, like computers weren't part of our life at that time. But nowadays, you know, we see 2- and 3-year-old kids on computers. So this is very much part of the, you know, lifestyle, so we have to kind of adapt to that, and we hope that this will become, you know, something relevant. And during our, not this time, but during our previous discussion, Bhakti Chumaraj has said that he had people who could help us do that. So one of my roles is to get a hold of Maharaj and start pushing that button. And then the fourth thing that we want to do in this part is a called Hearing from Srila Prabhupada. And the idea for is that it would be a visual, like a visual learning aid. Like we're thinking DVDs, unless that technology goes out of style, you know, which it could. Anyway, hearing from Srila Prabhupada. So new devotees, they need to know how to listen and hear from Srila Prabhupada. There's a few Prabhupada disciples here in the room, and maybe some of them would say when they first met Srila Prabhupada, or they first heard him, it was a little hard to understand his accent. It took them some time to, you know, to be able to clearly understand, and that's still true today. People put on a tape of Srila Prabhupada or a CD, whatever they're using nowadays, and it's, you know, initially maybe a little difficult. So our idea would be that we would have like a picture of Srila Prabhupada. Now they have this technology where you can actually lip sync, you know, that he's speaking and the lips will actually move with what's being said. So we'll have him speaking, you know, there's so many recorded audio lectures, so we'll choose some that will be spoken. He'll be speaking them, but there will be next on the same screen divided, it will be in English or whatever language, you know, is available, so that you can also read the words simultaneously. So that's one, you know, so in that way the idea is to hope that people can better understand Srila Prabhupada, you know, directly from himself. And then that same, you know, DVD would maybe have some other type of new material with photos and voice, and also some historical context for regarding ISKCON, you know, the development of ISKCON. And it may also have some explanatory notes as needed, and a study guide so that people can, you know, make references. And our hope is it will be, you know, very professionally done. There's many, many really talented devotees now, so we hope it will be very professionally done. And again, we hope this will be backed by the DBT. So those are the four main things. And then there's another category of these are more, you know, these are more like long-term and kind of substantial. And the next category, they're important and they're substantial in their own way. But these are things that can be done on local and or individual levels. So one of those is to encourage and develop Prabhupada festivals. Now, how many of you have ever been to the Los Angeles Prabhupada Festival? It's held at the end of May. One person, two people. So I have to admit, I haven't been there because it falls on the same day as a big festival in New Vrindavan somewhere. But anyway, this festival is dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. They invite Prabhupada disciples to come and speak. And one of the nice features of it is managed, put together, the whole thing is done by our second generation kids. And by all accounts, from what I've heard, it's really wonderfully presented and wonderfully done. Is that right, David Tahiti?
Well, actually, I required the committee that started it, and they didn't have enough time to get it done.
Okay. Okay. So that's, so Prabhupada's disciples started it, and then they handed it over, which is very wonderful to see the baton passing hands. But that's something anybody in this room could do at a local center or a local Nam Hat, you know, the Prabhupada Festival. And another one of these, again, this can be done either locally, individually, in a home, Nam Hat, temple, whatever, is to expand and increase Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Pujas, because what many of us have kind of noticed, and I say this like with a little sadness, is that Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja ceremonies in some places have kind of declined somewhat. So here in India, maybe you wouldn't see this. But part of the reason is because maybe there's no Prabhupada disciples to drive it, or because it's just not being emphasized enough, and it's the day after Janmashtami and everybody's wiped out, whatever. So we were thinking if we could develop some kind of a template that could be there for small, medium, and large temples, and also homes, because much of the congregation now is outside of the temple. You may be part of a congregation, of a group of devotees that doesn't even have a local temple, but there's a congregation. So that's one other one. Third one is to promote the worship of Srila Prabhupada via his murti. In other words, to have a murti in the home of every devotee. Worship, very personal worship of Srila Prabhupada. And I'm sure that anyone who does worship a murti of Srila Prabhupada can tell you how very wonderful it is to worship Srila Prabhupada in his murti form. It's just a very personal thing between you and Prabhupada, and so this is another way to develop, to help people also develop a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Then another project is called the Message a Day from Srila Prabhupada via email. So it just would show up, you'd sign up, and each day you'd just get a little short excerpt in your email from Srila Prabhupada, a little voicemail from Srila Prabhupada. And then another one is called the First 6 Months. So this would be like a curriculum, and it's something to be studied prior to first initiation, so that all people, newly initiated people who are coming up for initiation, would become familiar with Srila Prabhupada. And this was kind of came to our attention because currently the ISKCON regulation, you can say ISKCON law, says this: for a minimum of 6 months of strict sadhana, the new devotee must focus their attention on Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya and their sixth guru. After having established a solid relationship with Srila Prabhupada or his divine grace's vani, they may then accept an ISKCON guru. So then we were thinking, how are they, what is the format or the curriculum, or, what is the guidepost for developing a solid relationship with Srila Prabhupada for newcomers? So this new curriculum is supposed to help establish that, to assist the newcomers in developing a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And hopefully this will be implemented in both temples and congregations, and hopefully that, it will be accepted and appreciated. And then the final one is something that is being done by a second generation devotee. Her name is Shraddha Devi, and she is doing a book called Experiencing Srila Prabhupada in its Second Generation Experiences. So the second generation, meaning either Gurukulis or people that have come following Srila Prabhupada's departure. So these are some of the activities of the committee to the Prabhupada's position. And if any of you have any know, after hearing this, have any thoughts or ideas about contributing, especially if anybody's technologically empowered and would like to help with the technological aspect, we would be very grateful. And otherwise, at least give us your prayers and your best wishes. Now, one of the, I'm going to refer back, Ravindra's book, as we said, this is something we see as a kind of work that will come forward to people, come and try to be something that won't be, that will be informative, not boring, and help, you know, help future generations remain consistent with the Prabhupada. And he's been really meditating on this very deeply. And he was thinking, what is it that Srila Prabhupada did? What particular quality or characteristic about Srila Prabhupada that really, you know, defined his mission or defined his role? And he was listening to a lecture in, it was 1968 in Los Angeles. It was the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's disappearance day. And Srila Prabhupada stated that Srila Bhakti, he gave some examples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's life, and he stated that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati underwent severe penances for having this movement, referring to ISKCON, started, the seeds of this worldwide movement. And of course we know, he, you know, this was started well after his departure, he left in 36, but still Srila Prabhupada, you can see his link with his spiritual master was so profound that he said it was the penances, he said severe penances started, that helped start this movement. So he said also Bhakti, you know, Thakur, he wanted this, he wanted to do it. And he mentioned that in 1896, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he wanted to introduce Krishna consciousness worldwide. So he had sent his booklet to Sri Chaitanya about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his life and precepts. So in that year, 1896, he sent that book to Canada. And Prabhupada noted that was the year of my birth. So he saw some prophetic link there that for the first time in our present, you know, recorded history, the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya were sent abroad in a booklet form, and on that same year, Srila Prabhupada, who was to actually fulfill the prophecy of my name shall be chanted in every town and village, he took his birth. So he said, fortunately, that year was my birth year, and by Krishna's arrangement, we came into contact. So he came into contact with, of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And then he said, I was born in a different family. My Guru Maharaj was born in a different family. Who knew that I would come under his protection? Who knew that I would come to America? Who knew that you, America, speaking of course in LA, who knew that you American boys and girls would come to me? He says, who knew? Who knew? And he said, these are all Krishna's arrangements. We cannot understand how these things are taking place. So in 1936, he said it was about this time. It was, his lecture, I think, was on the 9th or 10th of December. It was about this time. He said, I wrote my Guru Maharaj a letter. And in that letter, he said, you know, my dear spiritual master, your other disciples, Manacharis, the sannyasis, they are serving you so nicely, but I don't know how. How can I serve you? I don't know. So this is Srila Prabhupada writing to Bhakti Siddhanta, how can I serve you? And he stated, it was simply an idea, I was thinking how to serve him. And he wrote back on 13th December 1936, he got the reply. And in that letter he wrote, you know, my dear such and such, I'm very glad to receive your letter. I think that you should push on our movement in English. The direct instruction, he said, that was his writing. And then on December 31st, 1936, he passed away. Yeah. So that just means, you know, one fortnight after He wrote that letter to Srila Prabhupada. He left this mortal world. So then Prabhupada said, but I took the order of my spiritual master very seriously. But I didn't think I will. He's saying I took it seriously, but I didn't think I'd be able to do it. You know, how to do it? And he was saying, you know, I was a householder. You know, so all the other devotees in the mat, they were the sannyasins, they were the brahmacharis. So he was a householder. So how was he going to do this? He said, but the secret. If we strictly serve the spiritual master by his order, then Krishna will give us all facility. And then he told us that after he got that letter, he started studying a commentary in the Bhagavad Gita by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And in the commentary for the verse 221, in connection with that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary that we should take up the words from the spiritual master as our life and soul. And then we should try to carry out that instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master, very rigidly. Carry out very rigidly, without caring for our personal benefit or loss. So we could see how Srila Prabhupada exactly behaved in that manner. So he says, I tried a little bit in that spirit, and so he has given me all facility to serve him. And things have come to this stage, that now, in my old age, I have come to your country. And you are also taking this movement seriously, trying to understand. So now we have some books, and there's a little foothold. And then the important part, he says, so on this occasion of my spiritual master's departure, as I am trying to execute his will similarly, I shall also request all of you to execute the same order. So he is passing the torch on to us at that time. And my appeal to you on this auspicious day of the departure of my Guru Maharaj is that at least to some extent you have understood the essence, remember this is 68, the essence of Krishna consciousness movement. You should try to push it on. People are suffering for the want of this consciousness. People are suffering because they don't have Krishna consciousness. So he said, Vaishnava, the devotee is the Lord. His life is dedicated for the benefit of the people. And then he gave the example of Jesus Christ, that Christ said he has died for our sins. So this is, Prabhupada said, this is the determination of a devotee. They don't care for the personal comfort. That's not important. Because they love Krishna, our God, therefore they love all living entities. And because all living entities are in relationship with Krishna. So he says, similarly, you should learn. The Krishna consciousness movement means to become a Vaishnava and to feel for the suffering humanity. So when Ravindra was reading this letter, then he was feeling this mercy, you know, Srila Prabhupada's mercy. How many of you were listening to the English Bhagavatam class today? Then there was a nice example that Bhajan Narayan gave, how Prabhupada was looking in Mayapur, looking over the balcony, and there was a big pit where we used to throw our, you know, leaf plates, the sutta, the leaf, what we'd eaten on. And some food would be sticking to the leaf plate or the leaf cup. And Srila Prabhupada noticed that there were some children and an old lady, they were scrambling through this garbage pit, and even some dogs, they were fighting with the dogs. Just to scrape a little bit of remnants off of these leaf plates. And one of the devotees said, sometimes I feel so sorry for them. And Prabhupada turned and he said to that devotee, sometimes? Meaning we should always feel this compassion, not just sometimes. So this was Srila Prabhupada, that he was always compassionate at all times. And he wanted us to develop that same compassion, that same mercy on the living, on the conditioned soul. So Ravindra Sarup was very much struck by that. And so he's feeling that really that this is a very key element in Srila Prabhupada's position and his role in this fund. And I'm sure he'll highlight that very nicely in his book. So one other little thing, because I mentioned book, I want to mention another book about Srila Prabhupada. And this book is in production stage, and only in the very infantile beginning stages. But it's called A Bond of Love, Srila Prabhupada and His Daughters. And this will be a compilation of eyewitness accounts and experiences from the lady disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And we hope for the blessings of all of you that this can be completed. There was almost 1,400 lady disciples. That was 28% of the total of initiated members by Srila Prabhupada. And of course, many departures have occurred. So, of course, we'd like to find everyone. That probably won't be happen. But there'll be some there'll be historical reference here, because much of what we hear and learn about the Hare Krishna movement is coming from the perspective of the male side. So this will be the first time that we're hearing a substantial portion coming from the other side. And in doing the interviews, which is what I'm doing right now, I am just constantly amazed at the extraordinary events that occurred in the life of Srila Prabhupada's daughters by the contact with Srila Prabhupada. And it is our hope that that same, you know, extraordinary experiences will continue throughout ISKCON, throughout the history of ISKCON. And therefore, it is very important that we constantly hear and remember about Srila Prabhupada and become familiar with him. Srila Prabhupada, I've told this before, but it's a very, very important instruction. Because Srila Prabhupada was very faithful to his Guru Maharaj. And that loyalty is something we also need to imbibe in ourselves. Because, when ISKCON first started, there was no competition, you could say. There were, you know, a few little straggling yoga groups, but there were no institutions dedicated to bhakti yoga. And there were no books, even we didn't have any books in the very early days. But certainly we were the first institution to form itself dedicated to bhakti yoga and to publish books. Now you can find books, you know, they're here and there. I mean, Srila Prabhupada is the torchbearer, the forerunner, and nobody can hold a candle to what he's done. But what I'm getting at, there are other options out there nowadays. So we have to be very clear in our role as followers of Srila Prabhupada, as Srila Prabhupada was very clear in his role as a follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. When Srila Prabhupada arrived in San Francisco, it was in January of 1967, and the only temple at that point was in New York in 26 Second Avenue. It was like a little storefront operation. And there was just a little handful of devotees. There weren't even 24 devotees yet. I don't know the exact number, but I can tell you there weren't even 24. There weren't even maybe 20. And in San Francisco, we had heard about him, and we'd come together with Mukunda, who had met him in New York and become initiated. And then he had decided that he wanted to go to India. But prior to going to India, he had promised Srila Prabhupada that he would try to start something on the West Coast. So we were part of that move to establish something on the West Coast. And we got together a little storefront. We invited Swamiji, which how he was called in those days, to please come. And he did. He arrived in early January of 1967. Historically, that was the first time he flew from New York to San Francisco, so the first time he ever took an airplane, because as you well know, he came by a boat, cargo ship, to America. So his first airline trip was from New York to San Francisco. We didn't have photographs in those days, or you know, movies or anything like that. We only heard about him. And so one very common occurrence that we hear when people say when they first saw Srila Prabhupada was because you only heard about him. And it tends to be when you hear about somebody, they become larger than life in your mind. So of course in our minds, you know, we didn't even know what it meant to be a Swami. But because he was from India, we thought it was probably something mystical, and we also confused mysticism with kind of like magical tricks. So we thought that he could probably do things like levitate or walk through walls, you know. We had no idea that Swami meant controlling your senses. So, you know, we had all these inflated ideas about what he might look like. And so, of course, when he first came into our vision, he was not such a large person, physically speaking. And that's something that would strike most people, because, you know, we're thinking about this person, especially later on when there are the books and there were more things to represent him, you know, and here was this very wonderful small gentleman. And he began teaching us Srimad Bhagavatam classes in the morning. Our Mangal Arati in those days, early days, was 7 o'clock in the morning. And we'd start by singing the Samsara prayers led by Srila Prabhupada. And then he would read from Srimad Bhagavatam and speak. And then 3 days a week, in the evening, he would speak on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And in New York, he was actually holding Sanskrit classes on one night, I think it was Saturday night, and then on another night he was teaching the devotees how to play kartals and how to play redundas. So by the time San Francisco came about, enough devotees knew how to play the redundas and kartals that he didn't have to personally teach us. But in the New York days, he was teaching how to play the kartals and redundas. So at one point, he had suffered, as you know, on the way over in the boat, he'd had heart attacks. Now he suffered another condition that was like a stroke. Now, you all know what happened to Jayaprakash Maharaj in October. That was a stroke. That was a massive stroke. A massive stroke or minor stroke, they're not good, not good things to happen. So Srila Prabhupada was more of a minor stroke in that he wasn't totally incapacitated and there wasn't a lasting, you know, effect. But he was very seriously, you know, his health was seriously compromised. And it wasn't clear to what extent that compromise would entail. And he didn't immediately regain his health. We tried different attempts were, you know, made. They got him a house on the seashore in New Jersey, then they brought him to San Francisco and a house in Vinson Beach. But finally, he wasn't recovering fast enough, and he decided that he would return to Vrindavan to recover. Now this is in line with Ayurveda, because it says in Ayurveda that if somebody is quite ill, you should go to your home place. You know, because you're used to the climate, the temperature, the food, you know, the surroundings are familiar to you, so it makes recovery easy. So he was telling us this. He was sitting up in his little dais. We didn't really have these big vyasa signs then. We were in the little temple room. And so he said, I'm going back to India, and I want you boys and girls to push on this movement. So right there, it was kind of a shock to us because we actually had not actually considered that we were part of a movement at that point. We were just coming together, the boys and girls with Swamiji. You know, we didn't envision that we were part of anything more than what we were doing, really. And he's telling us he wants us to push on the movement. So that was kind of a jolt. And then he said, I'm an old man. I may die at any time. I want you to push on this movement. And that was, you know, of course, we understood. He was an older person. But we didn't think of Swamiji as an old man. It's not how we saw him at all. And the fact that, I mean, every lecture was about birth, death, disease, and old age, so okay, you're going to die, but we didn't connect that with our lives or his life. So when he said that, it was a very severe shock, and we were stunned. So we became, you know, just very quiet. And one devotee raised his hand to ask a question. And before I tell you what the question was, I will say that at that point in time, I can assure you there was no thought in our minds or in our hearts that there was anyone else who could replace Swamiji or Srila Prabhupada in our life. He was the only person who could lead us, and we knew that. But he just told us he was going to leave, and he may die, and he wanted us to push the movement on, and we suddenly realized we didn't know very much. We didn't have any books yet. We were quite, you know, we thought, when he was present, we thought we knew more than we did, because he gave us that confidence. But suddenly, the idea that he wouldn't be there, who would we go to with our questions? Because at that point, whatever we didn't know, which was practically everything, we'd go knock on Swamiji's door. Yes, come in, sit down, and, you know, whatever it was, he would tell us. Everything we'd learned from him, even the way we're now eating. We were now eating rice, dal, and chapati, and sajis, and gulabjamuns, and rasgullas. And how did we learn those things? He had personally taught us. So we're thinking, okay, he wants us to push this movement on, and we don't know so much, actually. So the idea was maybe we needed some guidance. So the person raised their hand, and they said, Swamiji, is it all right in your absence if we ask one of your godbrothers to come and teach us? Now, Srila Prabhupada himself had written many letters, you can see this in folio, to his godbrothers, asking them to come and help him with the preaching. He even said, you come, don't worry about anything, I will cover all the finances, you just come and preach. These people are suffering, they don't know about Radha and Krishna, they don't know about Lord Chaitanya, just come and preach. Not one person came forward, or they all said, well, excuse me, or, you know, sorry, no thank you. Not one person came. And then when little success was there, little interest was there. But nobody came. So Srila Prabhupada could understand that there was a certain mentality. So the question was an innocent one on our side. The Srila Prabhupada's answer was very profound. And what he said was, he was very still, very, very still. He was so still that we were actually kind of frightened. It was like something happened and we didn't know what it was. And even we were holding our breath, it was almost like everything just stopped. And then suddenly he spoke in a very deep voice, with a very low voice, and he said, my Guru Maharaj is not an ordinary man. He saved me. And then he said, if even one person comes and changes even one thing from what I have taught you, the whole thing will be spoiled. Everything that I have to teach you is in these books. We have the three volumes, the first three volumes of the Bhagavatam, that was it. and we only had a few copies of that. But everything I have to teach you is in there. So, very instructive. And a leap of faith, even on his part, because he knew how we were not even neophytes. We were pre-neophytes. But he was turning his movement over to us and expecting us to carry it on. So, what was this showing us? This was showing us the deep loyalty of Srila Prabhupada, because then he said, if I have any merit, if there's anything that I have done, it is that I have not changed anything that my spiritual master has taught me. So this loyalty to the spiritual master, to the guru, to Srila Prabhupada, it's not something fanatical or narrow-minded. You know, sometimes devotees say, we don't want to be narrow-minded like the Christians. No, we don't want to be narrow-minded like the Christians. We want to be broad-minded like Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was very loyal to his spiritual master. He didn't change even a word. And this is also borne out by teachings in the Bhagavatam. When Sri Prahlad was speaking about his spiritual master, Dhruva Maharaj, speaking about his spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni, and he said, you know, I was running in the world of, you know, material desires, so many desires are coming, but my spiritual master, Narada Muni, has came and he saved me by teaching me the art of transcendence. So how could I ever leave him? So what does this mean, ever leave him? To be connected with Srila Prabhupada, one has to follow his instructions. It's not that we can go somewhere else and read some, you know, take some other person's book and read that book and say, hey, you know, that's pretty good, I like that idea. Okay, I'll add that to my life and, you know, mix and match. We have to really follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada as they were given to us. And in that way, we can actually be assured of going back home, back to Godhead. You know, that is his recipe. One time he said, I've only brought one medicine, please take it. Well, when the doctor prescribes the medicine to you, it also comes, take it this way, and he tells you how to take it. So Srila Prabhupada has given us the medicine, and he's given us the prescription, and he's given us the way, how to take the medicine. So we need to stick to that. And we can definitely, if we do that, we can say this human form of life will guarantee you success. Now, this isn't to say, this is a narrow-minded view. The Christians would say, you know, come unto, you know, that if any other thing but Christ, you're going to hell. Now that's the narrow point of view. So we're not saying, if you're not a follower of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, you're going to hell. That's narrow-minded, and that's not what we're saying. Other bona fide spiritual masters are there, and their followers should follow them. But we're followers of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And as his followers, it is our duty and obligation to follow his instructions. And the results of that will be that we will go back to Godhead, because he has promised that. So, maybe I'll just kind of stop there tonight, and then tomorrow, I'm supposed to speak tomorrow, and tomorrow I'll speak a little bit more about different pastimes and different personal occurrences. But I wanted to speak a little bit like this, because while it's very nice hear pastimes, it's very nice to hear stories about Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't be hearing these stories just to become amused. We should actually be hearing these stories to become enthused to follow his instructions. So, that's what I'll say tonight. And if anybody has any questions or points they want to bring out, I see Narayani is here, who's like, speaking in front of her, Vera, but maybe you can say something. Parvati? Yeah. Okay, about what you were saying, to remember Srila Prabhupada, at home we have this flip book, a calendar, and every day it gives one a statement about something Srila Prabhupada said. It's really, really nice. That would be another thing that we
did. Yeah. Yeah, is that the one that David Shakti put together?
Yeah, that's
a wonderful meditation. So she's saying one way to remember Prabhupada is that little calendar with the daily, it's either from a letter, usually, or from a conversation. It really is wonderful. And that is definitely a nice way to remember Srila Prabhupada. So I want to thank you for coming here tonight, and look forward to meeting you tomorrow if you can also come. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada's spirit.